day. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me today, and thank you for listening. And for those of you who have sent me little notes via email at info@realmeals.org or posted something on Facebook, thank you. It's always great to hear comments, and they're all good. So thank you for that. And on this show, it's all about food. What do we talk about? We talk about my favorite subject, food, and how food affects everything on Earth, our health, and the health of the planet and all other life on this planet. And it's so easy to forget that. And I like to really bring it front and center because what we eat really affects everything. And we're going to talk about some of that today. And I've got a very interesting guest on, and I'm really looking forward to hear what he has to say. His name is Eric Weltman, and he is the senior organizer for Food and Water Watch in New York. He has over 20 years of experience leading social justice campaigns and building progressive power. Eric has helped direct groundbreaking coalitions, organize high-visibility media events, write influential publications, and manage successful initiatives to pass legislation, fund programs, and elect candidates. Eric also has extensive experience conducting trainings on media outreach, advocacy, organizing, and public speaking. He has taught urban politics at Suffolk University and written for such publications as The American Prospect, In These Times, and Dollars and Cents. A native of New Jersey, Eric graduated from the University of Michigan and earned an MA in Urban and Environmental Policy from Tufts University. When he's not changing the world, Eric enjoys being with his family, his wife, Sarah, and his son, Zach, reading history books, taking walks around New York City, watching Burn Notice, and house juggling, and eating Thai food. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me.
I'm sorry to say that Burn Notice is not in the air at the moment, so we're now watching Saturday Night Live a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. It's good again.
Saturday Night is good again. You know, there was a long, like, what was it, 20 years void until it kind of came back.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's get serious. So Food and Water Watch does a lot of good things. I'm reading here, it works to ensure that food, water, and fish we consume is safe, accessible, and sustainably produced. And that really means a lot. So there's a number of different campaigns that are going on, and you were just telling me before that there's actually a little good news going on. You know, we can easily get very depressed when we think about all the wrong that's going on, but there is a lot of right.
Mm-hmm. Well, Food and Water Watch is involved in an effort to ban fracking here in New York and beyond as well. For folks who are not familiar with it, fracking is an extraordinarily dangerous technique for drilling for natural gas that threatens our air, our water, and our food. It involves the injection of tons of chemicals and water and sand deep underground to break open this rock formation called shale that contains the natural gas. And again, it's extraordinarily dangerous, and they're doing quite a bit of it in Pennsylvania and other states. They have not started fracking here in New York, and we're trying to keep it out. And we are taking on some extraordinarily powerful interests, the oil and gas industry, Governor Cuomo, who would like to start fracking, as well as, unfortunately, President Obama. But we are building an extraordinarily powerful movement, that is Food and Water Watch and our allies across the state, to ban fracking in New York. And we scored a very significant success just yesterday afternoon. The city of Buffalo, their common council, voted unanimously in support of a statewide ban on fracking in New York. So that's a tremendous woo-hoo-hoo indeed. We're extraordinarily proud. And again, this is accomplishment by Food and Water Watch, as well as all of our allies across the state, of which we have many, farmers, teachers, grassroots groups, from groups like Frack Action, United for Action, Catskill Mountain Creeper. We're working with dozens and dozens of groups across the state, and Food and Water Watch is helping build a powerful movement that's going to take on the oil and gas industry and win.
Do you know where the name fracking came from? I mean, it's a horrible word.
It came from some oil and gas industry PR person's worst nightmare. We've had a lot of fun with that term.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's been extraordinarily fun making up all kinds of signs and slogans and chants, some of which are a little bit or off color, but I don't know if they can be repeated on internet radio. But nonetheless, we've had a lot of fun. And I'll just add, if folks are interested in learning more about fracking, Food and Water Watch has a website, www.foodandwaterwatch.org. And we've got a plethora of materials, reports, fact sheets, what have you, that are available to download and videos too.
It always boggles my mind. Now, I love technology, and I realize that life for many of us has improved in so many ways because of technology. But one thing that I find is so often we come up with some great new something or other, and we don't complete the job. We don't connect the dots. We don't finish our work, and we leave a mess. It's like playing with toys and not putting the toys away because there's always something left over. And so a lot of technology, a lot of improvements have left behind problems. And we have pollution as a result for all these factories that are doing incredible things and on and on and on. And so fracking, is there even a way in the ideal world, if everyone really did their homework and dotted their I's and crossed their T's and did the best job they possibly could, is there a way that fracking could be safe?
Well, you raise a very, very provocative question, and one little tidbit of history that I'm fond of is back in the early 20th century, there was actually in Britain a royal commission established to study what might be the negative impacts of cars. And what they concluded, again, this is the early 1900s, they concluded that the worst possible impacts might be the dust raised by cars on unpaved roads. So, yeah, so there you go. So that says a little something about our capacity for technological assessment. Our concern, this is Food and Water Watch, with Governor Cuomo's proposal to open up New York to fracking is basically threefold. And this does get to your question, which is extraordinarily important. First of all, that Governor Cuomo, as well as the industry, extraordinarily exaggerates the so-called benefits of fracking, which includes, exaggerating the number of jobs created, particularly for New Yorkers. So they've exaggerated the good, so to speak, from fracking, as well as, the claims of promoting energy independence. Food and Water Watch has concluded that much of this gas would be produced for export. So we've really knocked the legs out of a lot of the so-called benefits of fracking. Second is the Cuomo administration has very much underestimated the tremendous negatives associated with fracking, which include the damage done to existing industries, whether it's agriculture and tourism, the impacts on public health. But third and most fundamentally is that we believe that fracking is inherently dangerous. Food and Water Watch believes that fracking is inherently dangerous and beyond our capacity to safely regulate. We just think the nature of the process, which again involves injecting chemicals underground, bringing back to the surface those toxic chemicals along with radioactive elements that otherwise had been more or less safely sequestered underground, natural radioactivity, bringing that back to the surface beyond the capacity to treat, leaving tons of toxic chemicals underground, which could migrate into aquifers, the risks of earthquakes. It's just the tremendous amount of air pollution, conventional air pollution that contributes to smog and health problems like asthma, the methane leaks, which contribute to climate change. And for folks who don't realize this, methane, which is basically what natural gas is an extraordinarily potent greenhouse gas. And so it contributes to climate change.
It uses a lot of water, too, doesn't it?
It uses a lot of water.
And there's no real plan on how to treat all that water that gets contaminated with the toxic chemicals.
Not at all. So our bottom line, this is, Food and Water Watch's bottom line is, there are safer alternatives to natural gas, but there are no alternatives to water. There are safer alternatives to natural gas, but there are no alternatives to water. And we encourage people, again, you know, visit our website, foodandwaterwatch.org. There's a lot of tremendous organizing that's happening, you know, here in New York. I have colleagues working in other states, you know, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, beyond, to try to ban fracking in those respective states, as well as try to enact a statewide ban, a national ban as well.
Your first point, you said that you've discovered that the majority of the gas that we're going to be getting from this fracking purpose is going to be for export?
Yeah, it's interesting to see.
I mean, that's just like, whoa, wait a minute.
Well, it's interesting to see. Are you familiar with
export to other states or export out of the country?
To China, to India. Are you familiar with liquefied natural gas or LNG terminals? There have been a number of them in the recent years that have been constructed originally. They were going to be for importing natural gas, so natural gas in a liquefied form, which would then be turned back into a gas for use for domestic consumption. These LNG facilities are now being converted, in a manner of speaking, into export facilities. This is natural gas for export. And again, check out – there's a white paper on the Food and Water Watch website if folks are interested in learning more about this particular issue as well as other fracking-related issues. But we do have a white paper on the Food and Water Watch website documenting the evidence that this fracking, were to occur in New York or otherwise, would not be for purposes of promoting energy independence. It would be for purposes
export. Okay, I'm normally just exploding and want to scream at everything, but this is just – that's – I'm speechless because so much that you see that's trying to promote fracking, it's to give us energy independence. It's to squeeze out whatever we can left of this whole
– You know, again, there are three myths associated with fracking. One, that it creates a lot of jobs. Two, that it's about energy independence. And three, that natural gas is green and clean and that it's a bridge fuel, so to speak, to a sustainable future.
Nice.
None of those three claims are true.
And does Cuomo know
false.
That?
Well, I haven't talked to Cuomo, but here's the thing. I'm going to give you a phone number, everyone. 866-961-3208. And I'll repeat it. 866-961-3208. That is a phone number that will link you to Cuomo's office. And as it happens, I mentioned earlier that we scored a significant success, Food and Water Watch and our allies, yesterday in passing Resolution Buffalo to support a statewide ban on fracking. As a consequence of that, we've decided to generate a whole bunch of calls to Cuomo touting that success and urging him to support a statewide ban on fracking. So again, that number is 866-961-3208. That's a special line that will enable us to track the number of calls that we generate. So we urge people here in New York or otherwise. One not so hidden secret is Cuomo's running for president in 2016. So if you're listening in Pennsylvania or Florida or California or wherever the case may be, your calls count too.
Wow. Okay, let's talk about Pennsylvania. Let's talk about Pennsylvania because they frack there. Is that the correct conjugation? Can you use it? It's a noun and it's a verb, right?
Yes, exactly.
I frack, you frack. We all frack.
We're all fracked up in Pennsylvania.
Okay. So they have fracking there, and there's fracking in some other states, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some history. And are they happy fracking in those other states?
I think the oil and gas industry is happy, but the folks who live there aren't particularly pleased. One recommendation for folks who have access to the internet or members of Netflix, there's an extraordinarily powerful documentary called Gasland, made by a local filmmaker named Josh Fox. It's about fracking, and it's a horrific, absolutely horrific expose about the horrors of fracking. It was actually nominated for an Academy Award in 2011, and Josh is actually in the midst of making a sequel, and he was famously arrested a few weeks ago for trying to film a congressional hearing on fracking, so that made a little bit of a news.
Mm.
But again, it's Josh Fox, and the documentary is called Gasland, and I highly, highly recommend it. Please rent it. Show it, in your home, with your friends or family. And if you're interested, in doing a public screening, you can contact Food and Water Watch, and we have the rights to allow public screenings. But it shows the impacts of fracking in Pennsylvania and across the country. They're doing quite a bit of it in Colorado. Food and Water Watch has a report called The Case for a Ban on Gas Fracking that's available on our website. And on the inside cover, if you download it, you'll see a map. You'll see a map that shows where there is shale in the United States, and where there's shale is where there could be fracking, because that's shale is where this natural gas is trapped, which requires the fracking technology to extract it. And you'll see a large area called the Marcellus Shale Formation, and that's what underlies much of New York State, where the industry wants to frack. And you'll see it covers quite a bit of Pennsylvania as well, and seems to avoid New Jersey somehow.
Okay. Oh, look at this very lovely map.
But it's the impacts of fracking are horrific, which is why we need everyone to help us keep it out of New York State. Check out the Food and Water Watch website, foodandwaterwatch.org. Call Governor Cuomo at 866-961-3208 if you want to get more involved. Again, my name is Eric Weltman. I work out of the Food and Water Watch office in Brooklyn. And my phone number is 718-943-9085. And my email address is eweltman, E-W-E-L-T-M-A-N, at fwwatch.org. Some of the impacts associated with fracking include, and this is one of the famous images from Gasland, is methane contamination of drinking water wells. And again, the image from Gasland that some people may be familiar with is someone's tap water catching on fire as a consequence of methane contamination. And that is certainly one of the more powerful and evocative images from the film. And there's a number of scenes which show people, using a lighter to catch their tap water on fire.
That's exciting.
Yeah,
it's a
fun party trick.
I'm a little. I have a gas stove, okay, and I just get a little nervous that I have access to gas. It just in the stove alone, and that's all, very nicely contained.
I understand. I share that sentiment, and I've got a 4-year-old that I have to worry about as well. Now, that's obviously, again, one of the more evocative, images from the film. That's not necessarily, a concern that we have for most of New Yorkers. It's more the impacts, again, on water as well as air quality and on food. As well as the prospects of earthquakes. I mean, there's any number of horrific ramifications associated with fracking, which is why, we need to send a message to Governor Cuomo as well as to our legislators. It's worth noting that here in New York and in other states as well, that there are bills that we're trying to move through the legislature, and we need our state senators, we need our state assembly members to support these bills as well. Here in New York, we're working with Senator Tony Avella from Queens, who's the chief sponsor of the ban bill in the New York State Senate. In the Assembly, the New York State Assembly, we're working with Assembly Member William Colton, a Democrat from Brooklyn, who's the chief sponsor of the ban bill in the Assembly. And again, we need people. We started off the program talking about this, reasons for optimism, and there are any number of them. I mean, we are building an amazing movement. Just this January, we were able to generate over 60,000 comments to the Department of Environmental Conservation, most of which were in opposition to Cuomo's plan to frack New York. Over 60,000 comments. That's extraordinary. We had 6,000 people at hearings across the state in opposition to fracking. That's extraordinary. We had a rally a couple weeks ago at St. John the Divine with over 1,000 people against fracking. That's extraordinary, too. We are up against the oil and gas industry, the world's most powerful industry. So We need all the help we can get. We need to engage more people in making these calls to Governor Cuomo, in helping us petition, in engaging more constituencies, whether it's unions, whether it's small business people, whether it's farmers, whether it's religious institutions. We really need to build the power of this movement.
The numbers really matter, and it's just like drops in a bucket. You know, we all individually feel kind of helpless and insignificant, but every drop matters, and they all add up, and they fill that bucket. And they respond to big numbers.
They respond to big numbers, and they also respond to, you know, particular constituencies as well, which is why, you know, some of what we're doing is, you know, mobilizing, for example, Food and Water Watch to help instigate a network called Jews Against Hydrofracking. And so, you know, engaging, you know, various religious institutions, religious leaders. We're trying to do more outreach to, you know, farmers and to labor. We also helped instigate a network called Chefs for the Marcellus. Because, you know, chefs, obviously, some of whom are, you know, in celebrity in nature, like Mario Batali, they have, you know, a certain amount of, you know, cachet and clout and influence. So if you happen to be a famous chef, give us a call.
Yeah, well, the point is that the food that we eat, the water that we drink matters. We can't live without it. And when it's contaminated, it affects our health. We're seeing that, unfortunately, more and more. And we just all need to speak up. I talk a lot about how it's important to speak with your dollar by the purchases you make. But for some issues, we need to do more. And picking up the telephone and making a call and writing to our representatives has to happen. This one is really so important. Mm.
And you raise a good point because, you know, some of what we as individuals can do is, you know, vote with our dollars, vote with our forks. But, you know, a lot of what Food and Water Watch is about is enacting, you know, policy, you know, whether, you know, laws or other, you know, legislation or regulations that benefit all of us, even those who don't have the wherewithal to, you know, buy organic food or buy, you know, water from Fiji or wherever the case may be. So that's the importance of the work that, you know, Food and Water Watch in particular does. Is not so much about, you know, encouraging individuals just to, you know, buy healthy for themselves, but to use our powers as citizens, as voters, as community members to organize and take on, you know, the influence of these corporate giants, whether it's, you know, ExxonMobil or Monsanto or Walmart. There's a lot of them.
Well, there's not a lot. There's actually just a handful of them, and they've got a lot
true.
Of power.
That is true.
So
that is true.
The places that the fracking is done, typically these companies come in and buy water rights or rights for underground
leases.
People's homes.
Yeah, so they buy lease, you know, they lease the right to frack on the land. And there's some, you know, there's communities in New York where people are already leasing, even though there's no fracking yet in New York. So there is leasing that's happening in New York, but hopefully those leases will never
right.
bear fruit,
so the people get a nice amount of money
or
by leasing.
What they, yeah, at least what, you know, seems to them to be a nice amount.
And but there are some personal consequences that could happen to them, aside from the water flashing, I mean, the water blowing up in their faucets.
I mean, unless they take the check and move to Florida, which, you know, my understanding is some of them are doing that.
Real estate values can drop.
Absolutely. I mean, it's extraordinary, actually, the number of sectors, you know, economic sectors, that is, that have concerns about fracking. That includes everything from tourism. The New York State B&B, Bed and Breakfast Association, has come out against fracking. So there's a lot of people associated with tourism. Breweries. There is a wonderful brewery in Cooperstown, Almondong Brewery, that's threatened to close up shop.
Do you know when fracking started?
Excuse me?
Do you know when we started fracking, when this process
This particular technique of fracking started sometime in the last 10 years or so. I'm sorry,
it's pretty new.
It's relatively new.
I'm just hearing about it a lot now because of New York, but right. I was just wondering how long have we been doing
this? Yeah, it's a relatively new technology. But I was saying, so there are a number of sectors that are very concerned with fracking, again, you know, ranging from bed and breakfasts to breweries to real estate industry, agriculture. There's, you know, a lot of farmers who are very concerned, including organic farmers, who are very concerned about the consequence of fracking on food production, as well as chefs. I mentioned, you know, the chefs for the Marsalis, chefs like Mero Batali and others who are very concerned about the impacts of fracking on food.
So Buffalo recently, they just did this ban on fracking. So that means in all of Buffalo, they're not going to frack.
Well, there's actually a couple of things happening. There are a growing number of communities across New York that are instituting bans on fracking within their own
community. That was what my question was leading to. How can we work in our own community to get a ban?
And the second point is that what happened in Buffalo was they went beyond that and they called for Governor Cuomo to support a statewide ban. So this was a very powerful political statement, extraordinarily powerful. Certainly the city of Buffalo does not have the authority to ban fracking statewide.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice if they did, but, you know, that's just, you know, obviously not going to happen. So Food and Water Watch has been providing a lot of resources to the national movement and the statewide movement against fracking. We have, you know, a host of reports and fact sheets and stickers and signs and other materials to anyone and everyone who's involved in the effort is welcome to get from us. We're sort of a resource for a lot of grassroots groups across the state that are working on, you know, local initiatives, local bans, and so forth. That said, Food and Water Watch is primarily focused on advocating for a statewide ban. So the piecemeal approach is extraordinarily important. I mean, don't get me wrong. We are all thrilled every time we hear about another town that's banning fracking. I mean, it just makes it all the more difficult for the industry to, you know, even consider fracking here. It builds our power, builds our movement. It's a tremendous shot in the arm when this happens. But we're still pushing Governor Cuomo and our legislators here in New York to enact a statewide ban, which is, again, why we urge people, you know, pick up the phone, 866-961-3208.
Call
one more
now.
Time,
okay, so
866-961-3208. That's the number for Governor Cuomo. Please call and urge him to support a statewide ban. And also, while you're at it, please consider calling your legislators as well and urge them to support legislation to ban fracking in New York.
Okay, so while you're making that call, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about some other things related to water and food and all these things we should be watching. I'm Karen Hartglass, and we'll be right back. Make that call. Hello, I'm Karen Hartglass, and we're back with It's All About Food. Okay, back to my guest, Eric Weltman, with Food and Water Watch. And he has agreed to talk about the Farm Bill. Tell me, what's going on with the Farm Bill?
Thank you. Well, again, Eric Weltman with Food and Water Watch. And just to let folks know, we just produced a new publication called Farm Bill 101 that's available on our website, foodandwaterwatch.org.
I can download it?
You can download it.
Nice.
Or if you want, you can give me a call and we're happy to mail you a nice printed copy. My phone number in Brooklyn is 718-943-9085. So for folks who aren't aware, the Farm Bill is basically the legislation that governs our nation's food system. It's really the single greatest influence on what we eat With perhaps the exception of advertising, I suppose. But, in terms of, you know, policy, for sure, it's the single greatest influence on what we eat and on what's produced and how it's produced. So, again, alongside, you know, fracking, which we discussed, you know, previously, you know, Food and Water Watch is going up against some extraordinarily powerful interests that have a tremendous economic stake in the status quo, from Monsanto to Cargill to Walmart. It's sort of a familiar theme, which is why, you know, Food and Water Watch, you know, we're all about organizing. We're all about, you know, building movements to take on these powerful interests, which is why we need your listeners to join us and to get involved. With respect to, you know, the food sector, Food and Water Watch is involved with a number of campaigns, some of which, you know, relate back to the Farm Bill, which, again, is a federal policy. We're involved in a campaign to encourage, or shall we say, pressure Walmart not to sell genetically modified sweet corn that Monsanto is intending to produce. So, again, Food and Water Watch is putting the heat on Walmart, our nation's largest food retailer, to not sell GMO sweet corn produced by Monsanto. A second related initiative, particularly, you know, here in New York City, that is to keep Walmart out of the city. Mm. Walmart, again, is our nation's largest food retailer. They have yet to open a store in New York City, and they're trying to open one. And Food and Water Watch has teamed up with some of our labor and community and food allies to oppose Walmart opening up their first store in New York City.
They're the largest food retailer, but most of the food that they sell is probably not what I call food. It's in boxes, most of it, or bags.
Yeah, I mean, they, you name a product, and they're probably just about the largest retailer of it. I mean, that's maybe a slight exaggeration, but, you know, whether it's, you know, waste paper baskets or, you know, bananas, they sell it and they sell a lot of it. So it may very well include some good things that you like. But nonetheless, the point from our perspective, and this is, you know, Food and Water Watch, is that Food and Water Watch believes that the crux of the problem with our food system is the growing corporate consolidation and control within the sector, within the food sector, which means that companies like Walmart, in theory, I suppose, could use their, you know, market power for good. And that's, you know, some of what they're claiming, for example, teaming up with the First Lady. As folks may be aware, a number of months ago, she is very concerned about obesity, and they did some big press thingamajiggy where they, I guess, said they would sell, you know, I don't know, food that wouldn't make kids so fat. But the point is, with their power, with their unchecked power, they have the capacity to dictate what's produced and how it's produced, and it's actually, for the most part, not for the good. The fact that they are squeezing, literally or figuratively rather, you know, squeezing their workers, squeezing food producers, you know, dictating what's produced, how it's produced, where it's produced, you know, driving the consolidation of our food production into more of a corporate agribusiness model. And that's fundamentally unhealthy and it's fundamentally wrong. And that's one of the reasons why Food and Water Watch is working with allies against, you know, here in New York, including United Food and Commercial Workers, including New York Communities for Change and other community groups and food groups, and opposing Walmart coming into New York City. It's why Food and Water Watch is the main element of our work on the Farm Bill, is pushing for a new section, a new chapter, or as it's called, title on competition. Mm. So Food and Water Watch is trying to encourage Congress to include a new section of the Farm Bill that would promote competition and that would dismantle some of this growing consolidation and control of the food sector by corporations like the Monsantos, like the Cargills, like the Smithfields, like the Walmarts.
I'm glad you got back to the Farm Bill, because I was wondering, what is it in the Farm Bill that would prevent Walmart from doing what it's doing?
So Food and Water Watch is working, particularly here in New York State, to encourage Senator Gillibrand, Kirsten Gillibrand, to be a strong champion of a fair Farm Bill. Senator Gillibrand happens to be on the Senate Agriculture Committee. So folks here in New York, we have an extraordinarily important opportunity to have an influence on the Farm Bill. There's other key states as well. In Michigan, for example, anybody out there is from Michigan, one of your senators, Debbie Stabenow, is actually the chair of the Agriculture Committee. Folks in Pennsylvania, there's Senator Casey. I mean, obviously, folks can go online if they want to figure out who's on the Agriculture Committee. But so here in New York, Food and Water Watch is very focused on encouraging Senator Gillibrand to be a champion, not just a supporter, but a champion of a fair Farm Bill. And again, encouraging her to introduce a new section of the Farm Bill to promote competition and to take on some of this pernicious, absolutely pernicious and destructive corporate consolidation and control that's wreaking havoc on our food system, wreaking havoc on family farmers, and wreaking havoc on our environment.
Does the Farm Bill take into consideration the subsidies? Is that part of the bill, or is that something else?
Yeah, the Farm Bill is massive. There's a wonky term called omnibus bill, and the Farm Bill is the mother of all omnibus bills. It includes, for example, food stamps. The food stamp program is actually the lion's share, the largest share of funding that's within the Farm Bill. Here's a scoop on subsidies. Food and Water Watch has a very, shall we say, nuanced role. A nuanced perspective on food subsidies, farm subsidies. We believe, Food and Water Watch believes, that the government has an extraordinarily important role in maintaining the health and safety of our food system, in enacting rules and regulations that ensure fairness, that ensure competition, that protect the safety of our air, our water, our food, and our fish. We believe, Food and Water Watch believes, that the government has a very important role and a necessary role in checking the power of corporate giants that threaten the safety of our food and the health of our water and so forth. And so all that's to say is that we believe that the nature of food production is such that there is a need for government to help farmers sustain themselves in times of whether it's bad weather or other unforeseen problems that disrupt their food production. I mean, this goes back to the Great Depression, folks, right? I mean, the first Farm Bill came out of the New Deal when Roosevelt recognized a need to help sustain and support family farmers, not corporate farmers, family farmers. So yes, do we want to see giant corporations, weaned from federal subsidies? Absolutely. But does Food and Water Watch see a role for the federal government in sustaining and supporting family farmers? Absolutely. Absolutely. Just like we see the need for a minimum wage for workers, we see the need for a minimum wage, so to speak, for farmers.
I'm all for subsidies. I just want to see subsidies going to the production of healthy food, broccoli, fruits, vegetables, the foods that don't have a big marketing budget out there. And they need all the help they can get if we want Americans really to be healthy. I don't want to see it going for meat production or for the food production that is used to feed animals, the soy, the alfalfa, the grain crops that are used to feed animals.
You raise a very extraordinary point, which is, Food and Water Watch, and again, we have all kinds of information, documenting this and detailing this on our website, foodandwaterwatch.org. But, there's all too much evidence that it's not the farmers that are benefiting from these subsidies, and certainly not the consumers. It's the corporate middlemen. It's the corporate giants that are using these subsidies as an excuse to not pay farmers what it costs to produce the food that they're producing. So it's the corporate giants that are benefiting from these subsidies, not the farmers. Not the farmers. And they shouldn't be blamed for these subsidies. And they, and again, you know, Food and Water Watch maintains that there's a need for a role for the federal government in maintaining, supporting a healthy food system. And part of that is policies in the Farm Bill that we're encouraging Senator Gillibrand to support.
Family farmers. When people hear that expression, family farmers, you know, we have this warm feeling of, you know, a nice family in overalls and plaid flannel shirts rolled up at this, you know, the sleeves rolled up and getting up in the morning and, you know, working hard and sitting around the table at night having dinner. And, you know, it's a family and they've grown up on the farm and they work the land. But there are so many people, I think actually corporations, that abuse the term family farmers. There are people that say they are part of a family farm, and it's huge. It's not a family. So I think we even need some clarification on what a family farm really is.
Well, I suppose there are, you know, legal definitions, and there are certainly, you know, federal standards, I believe, that define, you know, the scale of a farm. But what we're talking about, that is Food and Water Watch, is a need for two things. First of all, to break up the power of these corporate giants and their capacity to dictate, you know, what's produced and how it's produced, and promoting, again, this is something of a wonky term, more of a regional food system where we're promoting all the good things, you know, rooftop gardens, CSAs, organic food, farm-to-school programs. I mean, there's particularly, you know, here in New York City, I mean, there's a plethora of activity around, you know, helping, you know, reconnect, you know, urban consumers with, you know, rural producers. And that's what we're talking about, is the need for, you know, subsidies and support for that kind of food system, which, again, a lot of, you know, foodies in particular are, you know, starting to promote, you know, more broadly. But unless we take on this corporate power, we're just tinkering around the edges.
Walmart is, well, we don't know what they're going to do about Monsanto sweet corn, but Whole Foods and Trader Joe's have already agreed that they are not going to sell this Monsanto sweet corn. And that's great, especially for all of us that buy from Whole Foods and Trader Joe's. And what's the demographic of Whole Foods and Trader Joe's? I'm just going to guess that it's middle class, maybe upper middle class people with more income to spend on quality food, people that are educated and care. And unfortunately, Walmart feeds a community of a much larger percentage of economically disadvantaged people, maybe people that aren't as informed about their food. And it's a very sad thing indeed.
Yeah, which again is why, you know, Food and Water Watch, notwithstanding, you know, the occasional, you know, corporate campaign to try to encourage, you know, a Walmart to not sell, you know, the GMO sweet corn, you know, our primary emphasis is on policies that will benefit everybody. So hence, you know, a statewide ban on fracking, not just, you know, ban in, you know, certain communities. You know, hence support for a farm bill, a fair farm bill that, you know, reforms the food system in a way that benefits all consumers, not just those who may have the wherewithal to shop at a Park Slope food co-op or a Whole Foods or what have you, or have, you know, I mean, Lord knows there's plenty of people that don't even have, you know, supermarkets in their community. So, you know, food deserts is a very important issue that we need to be, you know, concerned with.
Now, when we talk about genetically modified corn, unfortunately, we've been growing genetically modified corn for at least a decade, and it's been approved for animal consumption. So animals have been consuming genetically modified corn, and people that consume animals can very well be getting those genetically modified organisms in their in their food and eating it. Okay, maybe you care about that, maybe you don't. And the other thing is that the pollen from this corn has been contaminating our other corn. And a lot of our organic corn has been contaminated, and there are companies that don't buy organic corn from the United States anymore. They get it from Europe because they can guarantee a better, a larger percentage or of being pure without genetically modified corn in it. And so the corn issue has been around for a while, and it's Syngenta, I think, is the company that made the some of the genetically modified corn, makes some genetically modified sweet corn that has been approved. And now Monsanto kind of want to get into the business. And so it's kind of gotten into the news lately because Monsanto was approved recently to grow their genetically modified sweet corn. But there has been other sweet corn that's already been approved. That's some of the difficulty, you know, when you have precedent going around, it gets harder and harder to fight.
You know, ultimately, Food and Water Watch, in addition to striving to get Walmart not to sell the GMO sweet corn being produced by Monsanto, we're also going to be pushing for labeling. And that's something I do encourage people, again, to go to the Food and Water Watch website and sign up for our email list, because we are going to be, you know, involved in an effort to be labeling these GMO foods, and we suspect that consumers are going to want to buy the non-GMO.
Absolutely,
food.
There have been all kinds of interesting studies about labeling and how whether it's true or not in the product. If it's labeled a certain way, people will go for it, and if it's labeled with a green label, kind of implying that it's healthier or greener, people go for it. Mm-hmm. And so labels do make a difference. I wanted to we have maybe 8 or 9 minutes left, and I wanted to talk about bottled water. I'm sitting here with a bottle of water next to me. Now, I want to say that at home, I use tap water, but I don't drink it from the tap. I distill it, and then I vitalize it, and then I put it in glass bottles. And that's what I personally drink.
Wow.
Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about why we shouldn't be drinking bottled water.
Absolutely. So Food and Water Watch, for folks who have been listening, is very concerned, as listeners may be aware, with corporate consolidation and control and ownership of public resources like water. Which is, you know, one of the reasons, again, we're, you know, opposed to fracking. We're working for a statewide ban on fracking here in New York and beyond. We're very much involved, again, with respect to the Farm Bill and opposing consolidation and control over our food sector. And likewise, we're very concerned with, you know, corporate control of our drinking water. So needless to say, there are any number of environmental arguments about, you know, why bottled water is bad. You know, there's the production of the plastic, which is very polluting. There's the transportation of the water from far flung ends of the earth, which obviously has a carbon footprint. There's the bottles themselves, which some may get recycled, many I'm sure don't. So there's any number of environmental impacts associated with that. There's also the concern that, you know, by drinking more bottled water, there's weakened support for maintaining and sustaining and repairing our public drinking water system, our public water system. So the more, to be blunt about it, you know, the more yuppies that buy bottled water, the less, you know, buy-in there is for maintaining our public water system, which we certainly all rely upon, presumably for cooking and cleaning and bathing, but that many people who can't afford bottled water rely for drinking as well. So we're very concerned with maintaining the public support for our public drinking water system, and we just don't want to see corporations owning public resources. It's frankly morally wrong. And it ultimately will end up, we believe, harming consumers and harming the environment if we have a situation where corporations are owning our water.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we've seen what happens when corporations own water in other countries. Mm-hmm. And it's not a good thing. Of course, there's that grand story in Bolivia, what happened, and all the promises that were made for better schools and better, more jobs. And what happened was the price of water went up, and it was untouchable, and the people just went out into the streets.
Absolutely. And last night, as it happens, I was in Rockland County, which is just north of New York City, at a jam-packed hearing with about 500 people opposing a proposal by United Water, which is owned by Suez, which is a French company and one of the largest, private water companies in the world, opposing a proposal to build a desalination plant for Rockland County, which we believe, and many residents of Rockland County believes, would be a giant, wasteful corporate boondoggle. So this is an example where a private water company is running the public water system.
Wow.
And so that's something that Food and Water Watch is opposed as well.
I'm going to have to read up about that. So they're going to take water where? From the ocean?
No, from the Hudson.
They want to take the Hudson.
And there's a lot of concerns about the environment and public health. It's right near Indian Point. So there's concerns about radionuclides, contaminating the water and impacts on the environment. But again, from Food and Water Watch's perspective, we distrust the motivations of United Water.
Would they be selling this water ultimately?
This would be water produced for the public drinking water system.
Okay.
So again, Food and Water Watch, and again, we encourage people to find out more by visiting our website, www.foodandwaterwatch.org. We have a lot of information there about concerns over the privatization of our drinking water systems, including problems with United Water, which again, in Rockland County, New York, we're opposing their proposal to build a desalination plant.
There are a lot of people that want less government. We just have like a couple of minutes left, but they want less government because they see how corrupt things are, and they see all the tax that it's going to we don't know what. And I will never say that. I want a government, and I want a government that works, and I want a government that guarantees every one of us, clean air, clean water, food, health care would be nice, education, and that's what I want our government to do. And I want a government. I don't want to run around in anarchy, because I know what humans will do, some of them anyway, when they're not watched.
And giant corporations in particular, they need to be reined in. They need to be regulated. And in some cases, they need to be dismantled.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, Eric, this was such a delight. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks. And check out our website, foodandwaterwatch.org.
Okay. And make that phone call, 866-961-3208, to Governor Cuomo.
Governor Cuomo, urge him to support a ban on fracking in New York.
Great. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. And remember to visit my website at responsibleeatingandliving.com. That's where things are really yummy and all kinds of wonderful fun things about food. And that's all for today. So have a delicious week. Bye-bye.